Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with different issues going on locally and globally. It's been a pleasure doing this show now for almost 25 years. Thank you, WBT, for this opportunity as you get ready to celebrate birthday number 100, and I'm excited to be a part of that particular show. Also, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Perry's Fine Jewelry and Henderson Properties. Both of those folks, Ernie and Priscilla Perry and Phil and Shelley Henderson, they love the Lord. They really do care about Him and want to serve Him all their days and use their companies as ways to glorify God. So you guys, thank you for your sponsorship of the show, for without you, I could not do this on a weekly basis. My dear friend Ed Billick has his microphone open for this program. And Ed, here's what happened. I came in thinking I was going to do one show on trying to help people understand faithful biblical marriage through the lenses of what God designs it to be in Genesis 2:24. And then I'm hearing more and more about Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, Vladimir Putin's aggressive nature and behavior. And I just thought the Lord said to me, change this show and do something on where Russia fits into God's end times theology. For the truth is, they are there and they're an important player in this. But before we get into that particular subject, let me mention to everyone that I try very hard to be a person of hope and to give people daily moments of hope. So if you'd like to receive from me a daily written moment of hope that would arrive in your inbox at 7 a.m., please go to momentsofhopechurch.org. That's the church's name I pastor, Moments of Hope Church. And there you can subscribe. It's free of charge. I don't charge anything. I don't want anything except to give your heart hope. And then again, every morning in your inbox at 7 a.m., you'll have a written moment of hope from me. You can read it in about 45 seconds. And Ed, I know you subscribe to them, and you've told me that they are meaningful to you, and thank you for that kind word.
Well, David, good morning to you, and good morning to everyone. And we'll get to the Russian invasion here in the next segment. But earlier, or last week, I don't know, it was Tuesday or Wednesday, there was one you sent out. I emailed you immediately. I said, this is a great one.
Well, thank you. It was entitled Thermometer or Thermostat. And the purpose of the Moment of Hope was to ask everyone, are you controlled from the inside out or the outside in, where thermometers take the temperature of what's going on inside and thermostats set the temperature from the outside? And really, we need to ask our question to ourselves, are we controlled by the world or the Word of God? Are we controlled by the culture or by Christ within us? And it's one of the two. Either the culture is shaping us and conforming us to believe its values, or inside we have God controlling our hearts and we are controlled from the inside out, and we are the ones affecting culture, not culture affecting us. So you're either a thermostat that the culture is affecting you from the outside in, or a thermometer, you're affecting culture from the inside out. You are who you are because Christ in you, the hope of glory, as the Bible says in Colossians 1:27. And everyone needs to, no pun intended, take their temperature and find out why they are doing what they're doing, and that's rooted into what's going on inside their hearts. And whatever you are feeling causes you to do what you do, but what causes your feelings is what you think. So what is informing your mind? What's informing your thought life? It's either the culture and its values or Jesus and His values. It's one or the other, and I hope that we are controlled from the inside out, because the strength of a culture is thousands upon 10,000s of people who are being controlled from the inside out and saying, no, culture, you don't control me, I control you.
That's one of five delivered to your inbox every morning right at 7 o'clock. It's amazing how at 7 o'clock I watch it, boom, it's right there. Also, how can folks pick up with you or catch up with you throughout the rest of the week?
Well, if you go to momentsofhopechurch.org, I do a weekly hope cast, as we call it. It's about 17 minutes, and it's dealing with contemporary issues, what's going on around us. Like last week's was truckers and totalitarianism. It was just looking at the problem of a totalitarian government when truckers are trying to say, we protest for our rights and our rights to be given to us, and how the danger of totalitarianism to people of faith is real. So they can get a hope cast there. They can hear my weekly messages. And by the way, at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, it's online. Go to momentsofhopechurch.org. You can watch online. And we are announcing our new place. It's at Providence Square. By April, we'll have our own facility. We can worship live at a place we call Moments of Hope Church. And for more information, again, on that, go to momentsofhopechurch.org.
You know, folks that are listening this morning or tuning in especially, boy, I tell you, I need another cup of coffee here. They want to know what your opinion, what your thoughts are on this Russian invasion of Ukraine. And I know you have some thoughts.
I do, Ed. And interestingly, if you are a biblical prophecy wonk, of which I am, you can go to the scripture and see that Russia is very much a part of what we call end times theology. And we'll look at that together over the next hour. And hopefully our listeners will be informed and not have any fears in their heart. We'll be right back.
Earth to God, come in, God. I know you're there, hearing our prayers wherever you are. We need you now to send your love down. Take away the pain in your holy name. We ask this now.
We need to pray and believe that God is overseeing his world like never before. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the program. And if you'd like to hear this show from beginning to end, please feel free to scroll down to WBT.com and the weekend shows. And then you can see the David Chadwick Show there, and you can hear the show from beginning to end without commercials. And I hope that's interesting and available to all of you today. Well, Ed Billick, my friend, has his microphone open as well. And Ed, we would be remiss if we did not talk about the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. And it is, in my opinion, a part of God's story in his story. History is his story. We don't need to fear anything. God's in control of everything. But we do have some insights, I think, in Holy Scripture that can help us deal with what's going on in the world today. So let me start by saying Jesus, in three places in the gospel accounts, and the gospels, for those of you who may not know biblically, are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels because there are similarities in the three gospels. The gospel of John is unique and different, but the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have what are called end times prophecies in them. Matthew, it's Matthew 24. Mark, it's Mark 13. Luke, it's Luke 21. And in those three different Gospels, you have Jesus prophesying about the end times. And he gives indications of what will be going on as the time of his second coming approaches. He made it very clear that they would be like a woman giving birth to a child. And the frequency of the birth pangs and the intensity of the birth pangs signal the closeness of those things happening, symbolizing Jesus' second coming. So, when a woman starts having birth pangs and they increase in intensity and frequency, she knows the baby is coming sooner, sooner, and sooner. So, Jesus said, look at certain signs of the times that are going on around you, and as they increase in intensity and frequency, they give you hints of his second coming. So some of the things that he mentioned, first of all, a great deception was going to come where a lot of people would be fooled about a false gospel, which really isn't what Jesus taught, but people would be fooled by it, false teachers, false prophets teaching it, called the great deception. He also talked, interestingly, about wars and rumors of wars. He said they will increase in intensity and frequency before he comes. So remember those two words, wars and rumors. Wars and rumors. So not only will wars happen, there will be rumors of wars that will happen even more so. So when you look at the world, there were more wars fought in the 20th century than all the previous 19 centuries combined.
It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe, but it is true. Now, some people say, well, we didn't have the ability to record them all. How do we really know? Well, we did have it. People did record wars. And what we have in recorded history, more wars fought in the 20th century than the previous 19 combined. So if you look at the prophecy about wars and rumors of wars, you see that they have over the past 100 years increased in frequency and intensity. Now, as you look at what's happening right now and the invasion of the Ukraine by Russia, that fits that whole idea that Jesus was talking about. We've been hearing the rumor of Russia invading the Ukraine now for a couple of months. It's increased in its intensity and frequency in the numbers of predictions of that actual invasion. It did happen this past week. So you look at that and you say, does that fit into a larger biblical prophetic picture at all? And Ed, the answer there is absolutely yes. Now, one of the miracles of human history is the existence of the nation of Israel. Israel was founded by God, by Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, had a deep, rich history in the biblical narrative, as you see from Genesis 12 through the prophet Malachi into the New Testament, and had its ups and downs and invasions and being taken away into a foreign land, being brought back to that foreign land. But ultimately, after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension in 70 AD, the Romans came in and completely razed Jerusalem and Israel to the ground. The people were expatriated all over the world, and the nation of Israel ceased to exist. Now, for people who loved to study the Bible and biblical prophecy, they had nothing to do because Israel didn't exist from 70 AD into the 1940s. It didn't exist, and yet Israel was supposed to be the central focal point of that redemptive history from God's standpoint.
But the land existed there, so what was occurring there? What countries were there?
Well, it was the Palestinians and the Arabs, and some Jews lived there as well. But in 70 AD, the vast majority, again, were exported to all the nations around the world. That was the Romans' way of keeping zealous patriotism from resurging. They would take the people and put them into other parts of the world so they didn't have a homeland that they could say, we want to defend and have uprisings, because during that time period of the Romans, Israel was probably the hottest of all the hotspots Rome had to deal with. So eventually, the emperor sent in his armies and razed Israel. The people were exported, and there was no nation of Israel. So biblical prophecy people would say, there's no Israel. What does it all mean? And people spiritualized it and tried to understand it in different ways or another until May the 14th, 1948, preceded by years of Zionism and the Balfour Declaration right during 1914 or so. The Brits led that charge of the right for Jews to return to their homeland. Now, they didn't actually do it as a nation until May the 14th, 1948, when the United Nations approved that Israel would be a nation again. So that's when it happened. The clock started ticking again there. Israel now exists. And interestingly, you have nations surrounding Israel that don't like Israel. And we've seen through the years that they are mostly today Iran, Turkey, and some other nations as well. They don't like Israel's existence. They want Israel thrown into the heart of the sea. That's why the whole proposition of a two-state solution that's made all the time isn't going to happen, because even though Israel's open to that, the nations surrounding Israel don't want Israel to exist. Why in the world would you want a two-state solution if you don't want Israel to exist? So for the last years, Israel has embedded itself in that land, and people would say that's God's land, that's His holy land, it was given to Abraham, it's claimed as Israel's land, and they are there, and they're not going to leave. They have nuclear capabilities, but a lot of people around them just don't like them. Here's what's fascinating. If you look at Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 38, he goes into specific detail of what's going to happen during those end times. And interestingly, there will be one major nation to the north of Israel that will help lead an invasion of Israel to completely destroy it. also take over its land, probably wants the ports that it would allow it to the Mediterranean Sea. Interestingly, side note, a large gas oil deposit has been discovered off the Mediterranean coast right at Israel's door. It is one of the wealthiest producers of all wealth in that area. So the major nation described in Ezekiel 38 to describe Israel during the end times is Russia. It's called by a different name, but if you look at the area of that day and its name and the area of today and its name, it is Russia. And they're going to be led by a very strong figure, not the Antichrist, but a very strong figure who will have aggressive tendencies and natures to capture the area in that part of the world. And ultimately will form a coalition with several other nations surrounding Israel to attack Israel because they want that land and they want Israel destroyed. Interestingly, as you continue to read in Ezekiel 38, that nation, Russia, is the most aggressive and largest of all those nations, but has an alliance with Persia, which is present-day Iran. And the Ayatollah and Putin have made arrangements together to support one another in their particular enterprises. The second nation is Turkey, which is right next to Iran. And we have today, of course, Putin's relationship with Turkey in great detail. We also have, interestingly, other nations in the Mediterranean rim like Libya and Ethiopia or Kush, nations in southern Africa that will all come together against Israel. And interestingly, Ed, if you look at the alliances that Putin has made, it is with the Ayatollah in Iran, it is with the president of Turkey, it is with Syria, another one of those nations that surround Israel. And what's also fascinating is those nations to the southeast around Israel, those nations like Saudi Arabia and Yemen and Qatar, etc., they're not mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Fascinatingly, they are the ones that have entered into what are called the Abraham Peace Accords with Israel, and they are not the ones that attack Israel. And what happens is these nations led by Russia attack Israel, and then it looks hopeless and God intervenes at the last minute. And those of us who are Christians believe that's a part of the second coming of Jesus to rescue that holy land, that holy people that God called, that God placed there, His land, His purposes, His plan. But nations are going to rise against nations. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars, Jesus said, as the time approaches for His second coming. And I don't know if this is going to happen within the next year, 5 years, 50 years, 100 years. Who knows? Only God knows. Jesus made it very clear, only the Father knows the day and the hour. We're not supposed to predict it, but we are supposed to read the signs of the time. Jesus said in Matthew 24, as the fig leaves bloom on the fig tree and it gives you evidence spring is coming, so look around and see what's happening. Don't be stupid. Don't be unaware. Read the signs of the time so that you can be prepared. I think that may be a part of where we are today, a very aggressive nation. And when we come back, let's look at Vladimir Putin. Let's understand who he is and why he's doing what he's doing. And maybe he's a part of all of this scheme toward end times. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Like never before, we need a shepherd of our souls to guide us in tumultuous times. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. I felt I would be remiss if I did not address the Ukrainian invasion by Vladimir Putin and the Russian army. It has incredible biblical narratives that I think we can look through in order to understand today, and I'm trying to do so from my heart to yours. Ed Billick, my friend, has opened up his microphone to join me in hopefully this discussion and the insights that I know from God's Word about what's going on, and I hope this is helpful to all of our listeners.
Yes, David, I tell you, in spending time with you here on this Sunday, you've opened my heart and my mind to many things. I've never heard the dots connected like you just did in the last segment. Repeat that for folks who may be just joining us now.
Well, in end times theology, there has to be a nation called Israel. There has to be. It's the centerpiece of the end times. Israel did not exist from 70 AD till 1948, and many people had no way of understanding biblical prophecy until that nation came into existence again, and it did. In fact, Ed, Israel is the only nation on the face of the earth that existed, then didn't exist, and now exists again. Again, the only nation on the face of the earth that existed, then didn't exist for almost 1,900 plus years and now exists again. Israel must exist for these end times prophecies that Jesus made in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. For all of our listeners who want to open their Bibles, you can go there and read what Jesus said. He prophesied that as the end times approach, there will be things that happen in greater frequency and also intensity. And he said one of those things is wars and rumors of wars. He also, by the way, mentioned, especially in Luke 21, that one of those things is pestilences. And we just walked through the last 2 to 3 years of the pestilence of COVID-19. I think it is a forewarning of the greater pestilences that will happen in greater intensity and frequency as the end times approach. Nevertheless, let's look at, as we're doing today, our focus on the end times prophecy of wars and rumors of wars. And in Ezekiel 38, in an end times prophetic passage, there's going to be a nation that is led by a very strong dictator. He is the head of this huge area that we know, as we look at the maps then and the maps today, it's Russia. It's that whole area of Russia, and the leader of that Russia is going to be a godless, reprobate person who just wants to oversee and capture other lands. And he's going to enter into peace treaties with different nations, and he's going to use them in an alliance against Israel. The nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 are Persia, which is Iran. Putin has entered into arrangements with the Ayatollah and Iran in order for the oil to be theirs and other things as well. But he's also entered into relationships with Turkey and Syria, nations that surround Israel, that hate Israel, that want Israel thrown into the heart of the sea. It's interesting, Putin has that arrangement as well. Along with Libya and some nations in South Africa, they're going to be the ones who come against Israel. Interestingly, those nations to the southeast of Israel, nations like Qatar, like Saudi Arabia, these Sunni Muslim nations that hate the Shiite Muslims, which is Iran, they're not going to be a part of this. And it's interesting that the Abraham Accords, led by Donald Trump, to be signed between Israel and those nations to the southeast, they will not be a part of the invasion of Israel. One day, Russia will invade Israel, and God will come to Israel's aid at the last minute when everything looks hopeless, and that will be a part of the second coming of Jesus. I just think it's fascinating that we have a character that is very similar to the character in Ezekiel 38, who leads the nation that is described in Ezekiel 38, who has aggressive tendencies to invade other nations and want more and more land. If he does it with the Ukraine, why would he not one day want to go south and have a port on the Mediterranean? Why would he not want access to that mineral-rich area off the coast of Israel? Why would he not want that coalition of people around Israel to have their heart's desire met with his desires to try to come against Israel? For me, I've at least got to pause. I hope all our listeners will read Ezekiel 38 and at least go, wow, that's fascinating in light of Jesus' prophecies in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 about the frequency and intensity of wars and rumors of wars before he returns.
What do you know about Vladimir Putin?
Well, Putin is an interesting character. He's in his 60s, so he's no spring chicken. He is a former KGB colonel. At the time of the collapse of Berlin, he was located in East Germany. He was high-ranking,
And when Russia fell, he moved behind the scenes.
When the Soviet Union fell.
Yes. Thank you, Ed, for that correction.
Because he wants to recreate the Soviet Union.
He wants the motherland to be back together. He feels like that's history's greatest embarrassment for him. So he's been working when he became the premier of Russia, which, by the way, those elections are not free. They're basically the reiteration of him being premier whenever he wants to be premier. And he has reassembled parts of the motherland. And one of those is the Ukraine that he thinks rightfully belongs to the imperial history of Russia. I think Putin is part czar and part mafia crime boss. He is part czar in the sense he sees himself as a continuation of the imperial families that have existed for centuries in Russia by divine right. And that's key. He thinks this is a divine God, Russian Orthodox Church calling upon his life to do this. He thinks this is why God put him on the face of the earth. But he's also basically a mafia crime boss. The way he does things just is the same way the mafia works as well. So he is aggressive. He is provoking people the way he thinks they should be provoked, because it will ultimately give him the end desires of his heart, which is, again, like you said, Ed, the reassembling of the motherland. And I think that's a part of the Ezekiel 38 prophecies as well. This motherland has to be put back together by this leader that is described in Ezekiel 38, who forms the alliances with those nations around Israel and ultimately leads the charge against Israel to capture it.
Where do we, the United States, North America, South America, come into this whole Ezekiel message?
That's fascinating. As you study and read biblical prophecy and you try to put together the different passages that address the end times as were prophesied in the Bible, you've got to go some to Daniel, you've got to go some to Ezekiel, you've got to go some to the New Testament prophecies, especially of Jesus himself, and you have some other places like Zechariah and Joel, and you put them all together, and it's like putting together a jigsaw puzzle, if you will, and once you put it together, you go, wow, that's an incredible scene. But as Russia and Turkey and Syria and Iran and the other nations invade Israel, there's one nation that's referred to as kind of the lion, if you will, and most people think that is Great Britain. They think in the area that's described in that area, it is Great Britain. And then there's another nation that's described to the east of Great Britain, but not in much detail. But the Great Britain area and that nation to the east basically look at the very aggressive behavior of the Russian Tsar with this alliance with these nations around Israel. And as they are threatening and moving toward invasion, it's basically both of those nations going cluck, cluck, cluck. Don't you do that. Don't you dare do that. Which is eerily similar to how President Biden has handled this threat as it has increased in intensity and forewarning. He has just threatened and threatened and threatened. And Putin didn't pay him any attention because I believe Putin thinks Biden is feckless. He won't do anything. And so if he invades Ukraine and has some of these sanctions even done against him by not only the United States but other NATO nations, he goes, I've got the coal in the Ukraine, which will more than satisfy a lot of the needs that I have. I have this rich farming area in the Ukraine, which is called the breadbasket of that area. And, you know, Putin's no fool. When he invaded the Crimea under Obama, he saw Obama basically cluck, 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 tisk, 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 you shouldn't do that. But he didn't do anything. And it's interesting, nothing happened under Donald Trump. I'm not trying to make a statement there, but I do wonder if Trump is considered by many crazy like a fox, and so Putin wouldn't do anything under his leadership, but now under Biden's, it's that same kind of aggressive behavior as under Obama. And the nation that we are in and the nations around NATO are basically doing the same thing the Bible said they would do. Cluck, 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 tisk, tisk, tisk. You shouldn't do that. And Putin, meanwhile, continues to expand.
I'm a my minor's in history of all things. And I would tell you, David, when we come back, just help us with this. Wasn't it Great Britain during the Nazi invasions that just didn't do anything until Winston Churchill?
Well, Neville Chamberlain was the ultimate feckless leader. He actually went and met with Hitler and concluded Hitler did not have aggressive desires, came back, sold that to the British people only to have Hitler then invade Poland. And thereafter, Winston Churchill stepped to the plate and, in my opinion, is one of the Western world's great leaders and helped save Western civilization. But let's talk about that when we come back and what may happen next. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Well, in light of Putin's invasion of the Ukraine, I felt like this program today needed to focus on an understanding of biblical prophecy, how Russia fits into all of those prophecies, mostly from Ezekiel chapter 38, when it describes a nation that will come against Israel with alliances with other nations, Iran, Syria, Turkey, those nations surrounding Israel, and then that will be a huge signal to the second coming of Jesus, who will intervene and will protect his nation and will allow all rights to come to this earth and all wrongs to be dealt with in justice in every possible way. We look forward to that day. We know it will come as people of faith in the Bible. Jesus promised it will happen, that there are all hopes that should be in our hearts that he will return again.
You know, I asked you before we started the show, do you want to be present when that occurs at end times? And you had that look on your face like, I don't think I've ever thought of that.
Well, you know, interestingly, there are a group of Christians who believe in what's called the rapture, that they're going, the Church of Jesus is going to be raptured out of this world before Jesus returns. We're not going to have to go through the Great Tribulation, is what Jesus referred to it as in Matthew 24, that as the end times get closer and closer, there's going to be a frequency and intensity of pain and hurt, like pestilences and diseases, like wars and rumors of wars and other things like that. And there are those who believe that Christians have already been forgiven. Condemnation is something they'll never have to face. They'll be raptured out of this world. But other people don't believe that. And they believe the church is going to have to remain. But the promise of the scripture is that Jesus will be with us, oversee us, guide us. And as the judgments of God came upon the Egyptians during the time of the release of the Israelites to their promised land, God put them in the land of Goshen, and he protected them from all of his judgments. There are people who believe the church will have to stay, but God will protect them. Either way, Ed, we're going to be okay. And therefore, the question that people ask at this point is, well, how should I live? Well, first of all, live knowing that God is in control of everything. History is his story. He began history, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God will end history. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He will end the history that he created. So God oversees everything that's happening in this world. There is a plan, a sovereign purpose and plan that God has made in this world. And as we live in it, we can trust him that this is, again, his story. History belongs to him. So our hearts should be at rest. Jesus also said, though, very clearly, keep looking up. Keep looking up. Be awake. Don't sleep. Don't act like the people in the days of Noah, where God brought judgment, and they just ate and drank and slept and lived lives casually when every warning sign was there around them, and they didn't care much for God. They just lived life on their own terms. Jesus said, keep looking up. Keep being ready. And then I would say, Ed, live your lives as God would want you to live them, whether Jesus is coming back tomorrow or a week from now or a year from now or 70 years from now. Live your life faithfully following him. What does that mean? Jesus reduced it to two phrases. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might. Keep looking up. Keep knowing God's in control. He loves this world. It's not out of control, and we can have trust in him. But also, love your neighbor as yourself. And all of us love ourselves. We wash ourselves, we feed ourselves, we entertain ourselves. We all love ourselves. Well, love others with that same kind of intensity. And I think, Ed, God would call us, especially in these perilous times when all kinds of economic chaos surrounds us, especially care for the poor. care for the needy, care for those who are oppressed, disenfranchised, give food to the hungry, go visit the prisoner, give water to the thirsty, make sure that you love your neighbor the way you love yourself. I mean, and live that way no matter what, no matter if you're in the immediate end times or if you have to wait for another 70 years. Live every day faithfully to the Lord. And again, keep looking up, keep being ready, and know that no matter what happens, you're ready. And I think prayer is a big part of it, Ed. I think that we need to continue to pray. Jesus was the one who said, pray like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hey, in that new kingdom, when he comes back, it's very clear in the Bible that all the swords of war are going to be beaten into plowshares. What does that mean? Every instrument that causes death and destruction is going to be beaten into an instrument that can farm the land and bring produce, crops, and life. So we believe that that is what God has promised us. It's what we cling to. We know it's true. And when we pray, Lord, bring your kingdom of heaven, which is perfect, where there's no war. There's no rumor of war. There's no pestilence. There's no COVID-19. Bring that kingdom in heaven to earth. And then when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we look at heaven, we go, well, there's no hunger. There's no disease. There's no turmoil, strife, hatred, anger, whatever. So we pray, your will be done on earth. Let us be that instrument of peace. Let us be that person who lives with a fullness of love in our hearts. And as we do so, we know you're in control. We don't have to worry about anything, and we can enjoy life to the full. If you should come back today, tomorrow, again, 70 years from now, or 200 years from now, you've got this in your hands. I love that whole thing that someone once said to me, this is God's deal. God's got this. It's in his hands. The whole world is in his hands. We can trust him in every possible way and not worry about anything. We should read the signs of the time. Jesus said so. We should look around us at Russia's invasion of the Ukraine and other things like COVID-19, etc., and go, they're happening with greater frequency and intensity, just like the Bible said. Then the question comes, am I ready? If Jesus came back right now, am I ready to meet my Maker? And I think all of us hopefully will say yes, because he'll find me not only loving him, but loving my neighbor as I love myself. Ed, I hope this program has been encouraging to people. What do you think?
Absolutely, David. And that's what we were looking for as listeners this morning. Let's conclude with a prayer.
Okay. Well, this program's purpose is to intersect faith and values with what's going on in our culture, in our world. I hope I've done that well today. Father in heaven, this is your world. You created this world. You own this world. You oversee this world. All time was made by you. You are timeless, Lord. You step outside of all time and you oversee this world. And in the time that exists here, you are making sure that the clock is ticking toward your purposes and your end. Give all of us listening today a heart of faith. May all of us have a deeper sense of your oversight and guidance of our lives and this world. May we trust you, Lord, but also thank you that in your word you have given us clues. You've given us keys to understand end times and indeed every time. And so we look, Lord, at what's happening around us. We pray for the Ukrainian people that they would have peace. We pray that you would protect all those who love you especially and that you would bring these wars to a cease. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would have complete power and authority in people's lives to make decisions that honor you. And I pray that all of us here listening right now would have our anxieties evaporate, our worries go away, because we know you are in control, you oversee all, you'll meet our every need, you promise to do so, and that is our heartbeat today. Thank you for my friend Ed Billick. Watch over him and his family, mine as well, and all families that are out there. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.